Good morning. My name is Monica Cornetti, and I'm your host for the weekly Gamification Talk Radio program. This week, my guest is Gal Rimon. We're talking about enterprise gamification, and this is an area, when we look at what Gal and his organization are doing, we're going to see that they take a much more, I'll use the word complex, but in no way complicated as far as our ability to understand why they take the angle that they do. I got connected with Gal because of his writing. I am extremely curious. I love to read, and I spend time, a little bit of time every morning and then more extensively on the weekend, and really go out there and just try and dive deeper into the topics that are interesting to me. And of course, gamification, so much information out there, a few of those that are really, really good. And Gal's is one of those. Today, we're going to be looking at the evolution of gamification. And let me give you a brief background on him as we get started. Gal Rimon is the founder and CEO of Game Effective. It's a next generation gamification company. Game Effective offers solutions for sales, customer service, onboarding. It offers clear calls to action. It has rich game narratives. There's cross-platform integration. When we talk today, Gal, I'm going to interject here. Is your background technology or strategy?
The answer is yes, both of them.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
Started as a programmer, and then later I became, you know, VP and CEO of the companies. But I think that to summarize, my background is in analytics and performance management metrics, and I think that this is what led me to establish Game Effective.
That's really good. Good. So, Gal, thank you for being a guest on the program today. I'm excited to hear, because I enjoy your reading so much. At the end of the program, I'll make sure and come back to his website. You can look down below in the text if you're out on the computer listening to this. It's Game Effective. There's just one E there, gameeffective.com. Get out there and get subscribed to his blog. The writing is, when I was talking to him earlier, I said it's not complex, but it does make us or cause us to go deeper in our thought process. So let's talk about that. You do advocate a complex view of gamification. Tell me what that means.
I think that if you'll start about the more complex or deeper gamification experience, it starts with my last 15 years of experts in the field of business metrics and measurements, performance management, etc. And I felt I didn't feel that we provide the best solutions to our customers. So we brought dashboards and metrics and KPIs and reports to managers, and we expect that the organization will be changed. So the goals will be achieved because we provided the information. And I always felt very bad with it because it didn't fulfill the promise that we thought that performance management will fulfill. So after we sold the company to a larger company, I started to think what I would do, what would I like to do when I grow, you know, I be more in my second part of the career. And I started to think about the solution. And the solution raised when I start learning about Generation Y and millennials and understood that they're wired a little bit differently than Generation X on the aspects of motivation and on other aspects of, you know, horizontal thinking instead of vertical thinking. And I try to combine the analytics together with Generation Y, and I understood that if we will provide call to action feedback and game thinking together, then it might be a good solution. So at the beginning, I thought that I invented gamification. I must be honest.
I'm with you on that. I hear you.
Yeah. I thought that I invented gamification, but after learning I learned that there is a term gamification, and I learned with Gabe Zigerman and with Mario, and there were great teachers. But after looking at the platforms that there were in the market, I said, okay, that's it. It's those are leaderboards, point systems, and badges. That's it. This is gamification. With this type of dynamics, we could change organization behaviors, and will it sustain for a long time? And I immediately understood that it is not the case. So we try to combine a few different perspectives to the same solution and integrate it into the same solution. The first was the analytics. So you must, in order to create a much deeper experience, you must be integrated with any systems around the employee performance. So if you do a sale, or if you close the case, or if you share a resolution with your friends or learn something, then we must know, and this would be part of the behaviors that we would like to promote in the gamification. The other aspect would be the benchmarks. And if you got 5,000 employees and you will be at the top 10%, you still be number 500 in the leaderboard. I don't care to be number 500. And you know, I'm at the top 10%. Mm-hmm. So what with the bottom 90%? Okay. So I'm the hero of the game, and I'm a gamer, actually. And I think I never, you know, maybe since the time that I played Pac-Man, and this, you know, reveal my age, but I didn't look ever at any leaderboard, but I wanted to progress in the game, to move from one screen to the other, from one challenge to the other, from one race to the other, and this is what led us to create a gamification experience which would be more a game-like, when you are the hero of the game. There are different benchmarks because you are different people. There are different people. There are new hires. There are experienced employees. There are people that are managers. There are people that are doing simple jobs, etc. Very different. So the benchmarks for everybody should be different. There should be also dynamic. So we try to bring both the psychology of game thinking and real game thinking, not leaderboard or, you know, just point, 10 points. You know, it was funny. The first gamification that I looked was, I think, for one of a site, a website. And if you wrote a post, you received 10 points. Mm-hmm. Second points, 10 points. Third, 10 points. Fourth, 10 points. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I understand that in order to create the initial habit, you need to, you know, to lead the user with baby steps. So, yeah, write one post and you receive 10 points. Now, let me see if you receive likes or reads or replies. Later, maybe you will promote and you can lead a forum, etc. So, and later, maybe we'll analyze the post that you write, and if it is related to the topic, then it would be much more important. Okay? So we always try to create the mastery, the path to mastery, in order to create much deeper experience. And it won't be just the same activity over and over again, because this is only for, you know, first 30 days habit creation. And there is a place for gamification, for habit creation. But we try to aim for what happens after the first 30 days.
That's good. And I like that if you're newer to gamification, what Gal's talking about is that mastery, that we know that we're getting better. So my sister, who's an avid runner, in running the term is they have a PR. Whenever they're in a race, because they're not Olympic athletes, they're just out there running races, their question that they ask each other is, I'm going for a PR today. Did you hit your PR? Not like, what place did you finish? Not that they don't want to finish first, second, or third, but it's always about that self-improvement of setting that goal and then reaching it. So that's really good. I know the points and badges and leaderboards get a negative in the gamification community, yet that's what all we see out there mostly in gamification design is points, badges, and leaderboards. And even people who are negative about it are still out there giving points, badges. And so I know points is a way of keeping, is a form of analytics. So I get that. I don't have that. I'm not against it, but that's just not all there is. Let's talk about the narrative. You mentioned using narrative.
Yeah, so one of the most popular games or game category is fantasy sports league, so mm-hmm. like football or basketball. And since I think 10 or 15 years ago when there was a football manager football manager game that was launched, and I sat and I looked at somebody that is playing with a text screen, and there was no actual game behind the screen, so nobody played football with the joystick. It was just making the right decisions to acquire the right players, to create the best formation, and to play with the right decisions. So it was, you know, like an event that I kept at a box. And when I started thinking about gamification, I pulled it out of the box because I understood that the game itself, in our definition, would be the actual work that the employee will do. Uh-huh. So if you will close a case, this is a play in the game. Okay? But the context would be that you are the manager. So you are the manager of your performance. So let's take this this football play. So if I do, let's say that I have three or four main perspectives of activities. I'm at a retention team, and I need to save customers from leaving the company and create longer commitments, and to do resolution rate and first contact resolution, etc. So those would be my metrics and KPIs. And when I am progressing with my performance during the week, I will start building my team. So each of the players on the screen will be created when I do positive things in the game. And the difficulty level would be my targets or my last month's performance or the average of my team or personal goals that are based on my channel of activity or whatever. There would be different benchmarks. Mm-hmm. So during the week, I will build my team. And by the end of the week, if I was qualified, so my performance was good, I will go into a game or a match. And in this game, I will be able to win or lose according to the build-up and the lineup of my team. So I'm working all the week in order to create something, and then my asset, it's mine, will compete. This is my team, will compete versus maybe other teams. So first, I need to qualify. There is one bar that I need to jump above. And then the second bar would be the race itself. So I can win, I can lose, I can be first, I can be, number 900 and still win because I achieved my targets for this week. So instead of giving points for 3 months or 6 months, and after, 2-3 weeks, there are winners and losers, and 80% of the losers will drop from the game, we managed to to give everybody the experience that they are the hero of their team. And it doesn't matter if their team is in the league, is in on the bottom third, because every week it's a new game.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take this one step further then. And I know when we were talking earlier, we talked about Fitbit and the quantified self. How does that tie into this and what you're talking about with HR software? How does that tie in?
Yes. So
let's start with Fitbit and the quantified self first. Let's go ahead and define that and then take it to the next step. Can we do that?
Yeah. Yes. I think that those tools and Internet of Things and wearable are going to be part of our life, and almost everybody will wear them, or maybe, you know, in the future it would be a chip that you will put on your skin or next to your ear, and it would be part of our life, because everybody would like, you know, to eat less sugar and to drink, you know, to drink well, more water and to exercise, etc. It's a common goal of everybody. Everybody would need to be healthy. And when we create that, you know, we take the terminology of healthy to the organization, it's the same thing. Let's take an engaged employee. What is an engaged employee? This is an employee that brings his friends to the company. This is somebody that when there is a problem, he reports about the problem. It's somebody that share things, collaborate. So there are many organizational behaviors. And in order to, and values, and in order to create, you know, I got a very nice example. We are working with a very large corporate, and they have 20 global companies, different companies that selling different things, but under the same, you know, the same, it's agriculture related. Uh-huh. So when I'm a salesperson and I go to a client and I try to sell him a certain tomato seed, this is my product. But if I will sell him also the chemicals that are relevant, you know, to keep this tomato seed healthy, so it would be much more. It would be a better deal for the company, and also for me, I will have my win rate will grow. So it's a win-win. But I don't know what are the chemical companies are doing. Okay? So the goal is that everybody will first know what the other portfolio companies are doing, what are their products, and start bringing leads. And later start to create bundles, etc. So we created the path to mastery first on awareness. Be aware that this is important for the company and for you. And then onboarding. Learn about other companies. And then acting and doing. Okay? Bring uh-huh. leads. And then sharing and maybe create forums so you are part of the ambassadors of the company. Okay, so there is a funnel, a very nice funnel that we can create with gamification. So it's not just building a single habit, it's a process. And in each step of the process, we need to measure the activities that the employee is doing. So this is exactly the Fitbit. So it can be instead of a watch on the wrist, it can be CRM system and Jive or Yammer, and it can be Portal, it can be LMS, it can be any other system in the organization.
That's good. When you talk about that employee engagement funnel, I don't know if you have a number that you, since you're an analytical, like that, you probably do have numbers. But okay, so the top of the funnel is wide. So if you had, let's just use that number, 5,000. If you had 5,000 employees, how many people would you hope to get into that top of the funnel? Or what are you expecting down at the bottom?
Yeah.
What would be a reasonable number, would you think?
I hope that 80% or 90% will be aware. Around 60 or 70% at least would be after the onboarding process. Mm-hmm. 50% will do things, actively will bring leads. I'm talking about, you know, this type of change
right.
management process,
right.
not
right.
about call center, that it's 100%. And then later, the sharing should be around 10%, and the ambassadors can be even 5 promille, so half percent. So it's okay, but this half percent may be the future managers of the mm-hmm. organization. It's also a process of bringing the activist, the positive activist, in the organization and to create like in the real world. You know, all the revolution started from young people that, you know, felt uncomfortable with the current situation. It's the same in the organization, but they don't have the voice in the
right.
organization usually. So we also bring them the microphone.
Yeah, that's really good. I think it's important that people understand you have the experience out there of designing and delivering these, that when you talk about that engagement funnel, you aren't going to get them all. And we still need to have that goal of what we're aiming for. It's still a win scenario to get 80%. I mean, that's huge, right? That to me, it
yeah.
is 80% of 5,000. That's great, because that will sway in the direction of the change that you need. When you look out
yeah.
there at the statistics of changes that go, they're not met. The change initiative that organizations put into place, it's right there at that. You know, it hovers at that 80% go unmet. They get dropped. The resistance is too much. Mm. People find the pathway too difficult, whatever the reason. When you look at, you have it mapped out with the analytics to back it up so that you can make adjustments as you go. You said you were disappointed that because we had analytics, we thought the change would happen.
Yeah, it should be dynamic. So
yeah.
it should be one size doesn't fit all.
Mm-hmm.
First, we must understand, because we have one organization that there are people from Australia to Portland, so from Sydney to Portland, you know, and from the right side of the ocean. So it starts from maybe 18 years old girl from Manila, and it can be 65 years man from Portland. They doesn't have anything in common, almost anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
the interest. And but both of them are in a call center. They are answering calls, the closing cases. So we decided that the narrative should be different. The metrics will be the same. The narrative and the process would be different. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, by the way, we are aiming to create a self-learning and self-calibrating mechanisms that will analyze what are the characteristics of the players and will auto-adjust the game according to the characteristics. So it won't be just demographic or something simple. It would be based on your character. This is the future, of course.
Cool. One of the things I want to make sure that we don't miss is where you see gamification going. We're talking about the evolution of gamification. Into 2015 and beyond, how do you see gamification evolving?
I think that one of the main aspects of evolution would be creating a hub around the employee. The employee is in the middle of the process, any process in the organization, and we will create 360 degrees of performance and behaviors around the employee. So let's say that you are in the sales, so your performance would be based on sales. And then we expect from you to collaborate and to be a socialized, to do socialized things like, and I can give a few examples in 1 minute, and also to learn. So let's say that you have a problem or your metric of creating outbound calls or improving the pipeline is you're not so good at it. So in standard gamification, you will lose points. So instead of 100 points, you receive 20 points, so you receive a punishment. And instead of bringing the stick to the game, we would like to bring the carrot. And the carrot in this case would be, we call it event-based e-learning. So instead of punishing you, we analyze that you have difficulties in this item. So your player will have injury in the leg. In order to heal the injury, like a mini game in boxing or any, you know, any type of game, the mini game would be learning simulation or taking a quiz or doing a game show of something with learning or talking with your buddy or even looking at the report, the detailed report about your performance. So we will provide corrective activities instead of just punishing you that you didn't deliver. So we will create, instead of just creating gamification for behavior modification and habits, and gamification for performance, and gamification for learning and onboarding, we will combine them together and create a holistic approach that the employee will feel that he or she are in the game, and when they have difficulty, they will have also, you know, the small magician that give them tip and give them the right, you know, drugs to heal themselves. And this is us, and the healing would be corrective activities that the user will do. And I think that this is actually the future, but to be honest, the future is now. And we are doing it with a few customers. Actually, it's very recent. And I think that the reaction is amazing, because it's not just performance, it's not just learning, it's a holistic approach. And I think that this is the future, one of the items.
You know, all that pushback we get about, well, this is manipulation and treating people, but that mm-hmm. takes that away. It really is, this is the organization caring about the employee as a whole, as an individual, and how can we make sure that we're not just saying, here's the metrics, meet them, or saying, here's the metrics, let us help you get there, and working with them individually on it.
You know, in my career, I had over 1,000 employees. And my goal as a CEO or executive was to create a coaching model for any employee. Mm-hmm. Because any employee need the people to help him around. But it was quite difficult. So we try in here to bring, you know, software and the computers and the information. You know, we are in the big data era. Uh-huh. So to bring all of those aids and the great HR, you know, I think that one of the hidden assets in the organization are the training departments. I consulted many training departments in the past, and they always claimed, we bring the milk and nobody is coming to drink
right.
the milk.
Yeah.
And our take on it is, no, you don't need that somebody will come to drink the milk. You need to detect when somebody needs the milk and then bring him the bottle with the milk to this situation. And it would be different between situation to situation, because if you got difficulty with calling, you know, creating cold calls, and I got difficulties in sharing, then our learning materials would be different. Uh-huh. And they will come on time, not on demand, but on time, when the system will feel that you need it in order to heal yourself too. And this aligns the vectors between the organization and the employee. It's not, you know, manipulation. It's I'm helping you to improve your performance, and I'm bringing the coach to the table.
I look at information in that with the information that's out there, we are being conditioned and we're able to get the information when we need it. So we don't need to go get it before we need it. We need it when we need it. This is really good, Gal. It's really exciting. I wish you the best in that. It's very exciting. Hey, connect with Gal. He's at Game Effective. That his Twitter handle is it's GameEffective. So one E in the middle there, Game Effective. And then Gal, GalRimon on Twitter. The website's GameEffective.com. I encourage you to subscribe to the blog. And he's got great white papers. They're so generous with what they've done so far and sharing that information. I download the white papers, I read them, and I think, that's good. You know, I hadn't thought of that before. I learn something new every time. I want to encourage you, and if you know anyone in your network who's looking at enterprise gamification, send them Gal stuff. They'll appreciate it. So we're about out of time, Gal. Is there anything to close out that you and a final thought you'd like to share with us?
Two things. First, that gamification is not sustainable, a sustainable process. And I think that with all the things that we discussed today and many that we didn't have time to discuss, we cracked or on our way to crack this challenge. And the second aspect is the process, the length of the process. And we, from a background of big data and integration, we are able to integrate. And by the way, I recommend whether you will choose us or other company to integrate all the information sources, whether it those are Excels, YouTube videos, social network systems, LMS, performance management, CRM, etc., to integrate them with gamification. I believe that gamification is the next user experience and the next hub for business processes. So this is my recommendation. Just do it.
Yeah, that's good. And to not be afraid of it is right. Yeah. There's so much, even just with the ability to do that integration, people still want to hold on to what they've known and what they've done, which is normal. I mean, that's, we understand that. And if you think about what Gal's talking about here, how much easier it is and how much more your employees actually get to stay engaged rather than having to go over here and go over there and find that and where was that and bring it all back. So that's really good.
We are working with companies from 150 or 200,000 employees to companies with 50 employees. And the logic is to break them to smaller groups, you know, to put the hero is the gamer or the user, and then there is the team. You can't think about 200 people, you know, and think that it will work if you don't think about the individual and about the close team.
Good. Hey, Gal, thank you so much for being on the program today. It was absolutely great, as I knew it would be. Connect with me out at my website, monicacornetti.com. We have a lot of really exciting things that we're rolling out in February, so we'll keep you posted on all of those. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks, Gal.
Thank you, Monica. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.